This is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The purpose of this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. It is doing these exercises that will make the goal of this course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. Transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. Remember that one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishments anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. What a surprise that here you are, and I'm going to express right in the immediacy of our initial contact here how very grateful I am to you for the procedure that you are about to experience in your own mind, okay, connected to our shared heartfelt need to find a solution to this problem based on this Course in Miracles, which is expressing the certainty that you have a purpose for being here, and that's our lesson for today. For those of you who have never seen a video of someone, and I'm using someone in the sense that I'm going to represent your someone rather than your no one, this course teaches us in a systematic way how to discover our true identity. Okay, true in the sense that life is eternal and that you are a whole inevitable part of the creating love of our Father. And we use the term God very simply because if there is any single total source of reality, God would be as good a name as any. I'm not concerned about your name procedure because you have a tendency to already have constructed yourself in the misillusion about who you really are. So this is a systematic way within your own mind for you to have the experience of a transition from a location that you have in space-time as you're presenting yourself to me in this new advent of realization. Let's remember something very fundamentally here. This is important. I'm teaching in the Christian vernacular very simply because the mind in which I discovered my wholeness was identified to me as Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I have no concern about how you identify a process by which you would come to know who you are. But the teachings of Jesus represent to me the entirety of my necessity to forgive my relationships with myself in a procedural reassociation of love and understanding that we share a common source. Okay, and then what happened? Through the process of this forgiveness and love, it became an experience. So that when he directs me, as he is directing you, as a part of our association, to his certainty that if we will allow him to, he will represent the entirety of the procedure of the bodily, mental and emotional, physical, spatial and temporal re-identity of yourself in the certainty of your own emerging Christhood. Now, you're listening to this video and you haven't turned it off. It must be an indication that somewhere you are no longer gratified by your need to represent that ridiculous containment of yourself. Did I offend you? Are you affronted by the idea that I consider the conceptual mind to be ridiculous? I consider the terms by which you present to me your solutions in the problem of your temporal identity to be ridiculous. Now, what we're going to do now, before we begin this 192, we're going to review, just for a minute, lesson 191 in this Course in Miracles that is entitled, I Am the Holy Son of God Himself. Right. You want to say that to me? Let's practice it just for a minute. I'm curious to see what the evidence of your willingness to accept this exchange of definitions about ourselves is proceeding. Say to me, I am the Holy Son of God Himself. Yes. Notice that didn't require your definition of yourself. But somewhere, okay, in this time and space, if you'll allow it to, it must represent the entirety of a basic fundamental idea that communication in its entirety is occurring at this time without your need to hold on to the residual, an echo of a moment in time long gone. You've come into my presence now, and I am offering you the entirety of the solution based on our mutual intent to enter in momentarily a description of the alternative of the completion of our sojourn in time. And we're going to use lesson 191 because at this time and place it will be the most valuable lesson that you will ever receive. And it's going to compare who you think you are with who I know that you are. Let's listen together, lesson 191. Be glad today how very easily is hell undone. You need but tell yourself, I am the Holy Son of God Himself. I cannot suffer, I cannot be in pain. I cannot suffer loss nor fail to do all that salvation asks. And in this thought is everything you look on wholly changed. A miracle has lighted up all dark and ancient caverns where the rites of death echoed since time began. For time has lost its hold upon the world. The Son of God has come in glory to redeem the lost, to save the helpless, and to give the world the gift of His forgiveness. Who could see the world as dark and sinful when God's Son has come again at last to set it free? I want you to listen to this now. You who perceive yourself as weak and frail with futile hopes and devastated dreams, born but to die, to weep and suffer pain, hear this. All power is given unto you in earth and heaven. There is nothing that you cannot do. You play the game of death, of being helpless, pitifully tied to disillusion in a world which shows no mercy to you. Yet when you accord it mercy, will its mercy shine on you. Then let the Son of God awaken from his sleep, and opening his holy eyes, return again to bless the world he made. In error it began, but it will end in the reflection of his holiness. And he will sleep no more and dream of death. Then join with me today. Your glory is the light that saves the world. Do not withhold salvation longer. Look about the world and see the suffering there. Is not your heart willing to bring your weary brother rest? Listen, they must await your own release. They stay in chains till you are free. They cannot see the mercy of the world until you find it in yourself. They suffer pain until you have denied its hold on you. Are you listening? They die till you accept your own eternal life. You are the Holy Son of God Himself. Remember this, and all the world is free. Remember this, and earth and heaven are one. Now we're at some very pertinent ideas concerning yourself individually and your relationship with this image. Are you ready? If you will accept from me at this time and in this place, initially, that I am a reflection of your mind, of your conceptual ideas about yourself that are contained in the light form energy of the density of the establishment of, let's call it slow light or mass, okay, where you will utilize the idea of thought, okay, which is what strength and light are, you can proceed virtually instantly into the realization of who you are. Now, you say, what is your theological procedure in this regard? I'll give you a single sentence. If you'll accept it from me, your problems concerning who you are in this little evidence of the nothingness in which you were contained will disappear. I want you to say with me about God. God is the mind with which I think. Say it. Yeah, I gotcha. There, just for a moment I gotcha. Why? No matter what process you employed to define yourself in any relationship with your existent self concerning the circumstances in which you find yourself, you are still using the power of a single mind. All right? There is one source of reality, and that we are sharing with God. Now, the simple truth of the matter is that for a moment, we were separated from the entirety of what we are. In that separation, there occurred the idea that we would be our own source of reality, and all human beings contained within the frequency of the necessity for definitions of correspondences of themselves, in a particular sense, must believe they have made themselves. That is, they have nowhere apparent to them a source of reality. The condition, and let's go to this idea of the species for a minute. The idea of the species which you identify as inhabiting this little dark form is a consciousness formulation of history, that is, the idea of past references and future possibilities into which it occupies itself. I'm looking right at you. You have been preoccupied in your conceptual mind with an idea that as you had identified yourself, that this was life. See what we just saw there in lesson 191? Huh? Say to me, this is not life. Yes. Life is not that body. Life is not the confinement of your conceptual mind that defines your necessity to associate in this factor of space-time and protect the little existence that you inhabit. Look at me. This is the time and the place where you have decided that enough is enough. I'm not concerned about how you happen to be watching this video. I might remind you that it would be impossible that anything be by accident. Let's review for a moment the idea of the power of your mind that you exercise in order to determine the outcome that you want based on the old outcomes that you had before. That keeps you from seeing the entirety of the power of the offering that I'm giving you now. Now, this lesson is going to say that God, the reality of everything that there is, cannot not have a function that I must fulfill, because within my own conceptual relationship as an identity, I am employing all of the power of the universe. In a particular sense, if you share it with me, you are employing all of the power of your conceptual mind to deny the totality of your own perfection. This is what my master, my teacher, Jesus Christ, said to me when he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Say that to me. Say it. I'm listening. Will you accept from me fundamentally that I'm only speaking to you? The value of this occasion of light realization will be so enhanced if you'll make a fundamental admission that I'm only talking to you. Will you accept from me in a reasoning process that if you are a containment of your own consciousness association that does not have the solution to who it really is, it must be somewhere available to you. I am making it available to you in a metamorphosis, an incursion, a transition from what you thought you were within this limited species identity to the certainty of who you really are. We have been determined to present this to the world. With that determination goes your admission that if you use the world as you have done before to defend yourself from the fundamental idea of your own perfection and the necessity that is inherent in you to forgive the conflict that you express concerning yourself that is not actually connected to the world at all, the solution will begin to occur to you because you'll no longer want to defend yourself in that little alcove of death by which you are identifying yourself. Now, for those who have never seen this video, I have permission to do this. Remember, this Course in Miracles is gaining momentum now through your individual transformation. It's not connected to the world at all, but it is being offered to you within the insightful privacy of the necessity for your own conversion. Did you feel that just then? The joy that you're expressing in this mind training is the occurrence of that holy instant brightens your perspective in regard to what you see in your own image making. That's the joy that you're beginning to share with me. What? It's self-realization. Now, most of you are not near as resentful as you used to be when I call you a dummy. To an awakening mind, the idea of the perspective of a human consciousness is so limited in its range of light identity that in a literal sense, it's ridiculous. Okay, so we use the perspective of this Course in Miracles. You see what is not there. You hear what makes no sound whatsoever. And you are confined so entirely to your own emotional involvement that you inevitably connect pain and death and loneliness with your ideas of love. What could be more absurd to any reasonable mind than you would lose the things that you love? I'm going to take 3 more minutes and I'm going to read to you just the first 3 paragraphs of chapter 10 that talks about your continuing desire to suffer sickness, pain, and death when the responsibility of changing your mind is contained entirely within the power of your own observation of yourself. Listen. The idols of sickness. Listen, nothing beyond yourself can make you fearful or loving because nothing is beyond yourself. Could you hear that? We're talking about being both fearful and loving. Why? Time and eternity are both in your mind and will conflict until you perceive time solely as a means to regain eternity. You cannot do this as long as you believe that anything happening to you is caused by factors outside yourself. You listen. You must learn that time is solely at your own disposal and that nothing in the world can take this responsibility from you. You can violate God's laws in your imagination, but you cannot escape from them. They were established for your protection and are as inviolate as your safety. Are you listening? Now, God created nothing beside you, and nothing beside you exists, for you are part of Him. What except Him can exist? Nothing beyond Him can happen, because nothing except Him is real. Your creations add to Him as you do, but nothing is added that is different, because everything has always been. What can upset you except the ephemeral? And how can the ephemeral be real if you are God's only creation and He created you eternal? Listen, your holy mind establishes everything that happens to you. Every response you make to everything you perceive is up to you because your mind determines your perception of it. Listen, God does not change His mind about you, for He is not uncertain of Himself. And what He knows can be known because He does not know it only for Himself. He created you for Himself, but He gave you the power to create for yourself so you would be like Him. That is why your mind is holy. Can anything exceed the love of God? Can anything then exceed your will? Nothing can reach you from beyond it because being in God, you encompass everything. Believe this, and you will realize how much is up to you. When anything threatens your peace of mind, ask yourself, has God changed His mind about me? Then accept His decision, for it is indeed changeless, and refuse to change your mind about yourself. God will never decide against you, or what? He would be deciding against Himself. You know what's exciting about this prospect? This is obviously from A Course in Miracles, which with any reasonable perceptual discernment could not have come from this world. I assure you that the practice, the joy of the practice of the change of your mind that you are beginning to experience in this metamorphosis, the awakening of the species from what it thought it was, is a whole part of what you have become in that certainty. Here's what was important from my mind to yours. And this lesson is showing you that salvation is up to you because your consciousness is what the universe is. It's a very fundamental acceptance of the realization that you are the cause of this and that nothing out there can affect you. But the importance of the idea of forgiveness, being willing to forgive, is extremely necessary to you now. Because if you wish to fulfill your function of changing your mind so that the world will change, you must offer a solution of the grievance that you hold against yourself to one who knows entirely who you are. Let's read just the first 2 paragraphs of lesson 192 that talk about your function. Listen. It is your Father's holy will that you complete Himself, and that yourself shall be His sacred Son, forever pure as He, of love created and in love preserved, extending love, creating in its name, forever one with God and with yourself. Yet what can such a function mean within a world of envy, hatred, and attack? Listen, therefore, you have a function in the world in its own terms, for who can understand a language far beyond his simple grasp? Forgiveness represents your function here. It is not God's creation, for it is the means by which untruth can be undone. And who would pardon heaven? Yet on earth, you need the means to let illusions go. Creation merely waits for your return to be acknowledged, not to be complete. Now, could you share that with me? All of creation is all around you if you will accept the fundamental admission of the necessity to no longer, and I'm going to take a step up with you, to attack yourself. When we come back, we're going to have to leave you in a minute or so because we've completed the first 30 minutes of this idea that you will fulfill your function. We're going to come back and we're going to talk for just the first few minutes about what forgiveness really is, and we'll try it as we leave you with this. Say to me, I can only forgive myself. I can only forgive myself. There's nothing out there that can attack me or cause me to grieve except what I have put out there in order to protect myself in the continuation of the grievance. The joy of the light that you're experiencing with me right here and now is what forgiveness is. You are experiencing a conversion, okay, based on the light that was all around you in what we would call an attitude of precisional, provisional, situational forgiveness, where just for that moment you didn't defend yourself against your own conflict. That's the joy that we're taking out into the world. It's a whole new idea about yourself. And if you share with me that you're having an experience of the certainty of your own self, okay, it subtracts the necessity for you to hold on to the fundamental grievance that the species feels in regard to its predator-prey notations of cause and effect, where it literally must attack and be attacked in order to identify itself. And that time and place are now passing because you're standing in the time and place where they did pass. Remember, as we said, that God is the mind with which we think, and that that power of mind goes with us wherever we go. We'll see you in just a moment and leave you with the certainty that God is blessing us, everyone. Welcome back. Welcome to the certainty that you're discovering in this time and place that you have a function to fulfill. Most of you who have come as far as you have in the idea of this necessity for your own transformation of mind are making some very fundamental admissions within your own concepts. Shall I share with you just for a minute, you bright what you consider to be bright conceptual forms out there, all of the solutions that you find within your own mind continue to define the little weakness and dark forms by which you establish yourself. Okay, so you assume a function of your own making that continues to offer you an existent identity of that body, so that you, I'm talking directly to you because I can feel that you are beginning to release your own defenses. Shall I try that with you? What you have been defending yourself from in order to perform your function of elimination, say your temporal identity, by holding on to you, I'm talking to every human being out there, but most particularly I'm talking to you because I just saw that you wanted to hear it. I just saw that for a minute, for that second, you considered the possibility within your own concepts that there really was an instant availability of an alternative that actually wasn't contained in your sequential ideas about yourself. That's the experience that I'm providing with you. Now, this came about to me through my message from my Savior Jesus, who told me very simply that if my I be single, my whole body would be light. He pointed out to me that if I see through my split mind my brother in splendors, the idea of his separation, so I can hold grievances against my separate mind, I won't be able to do what? Bible students, see the beam that's in my eye. You see that? Your conceptual form is split within its associations of old references and the truth of its new mind, which is converting the ratio of the evidence of itself within the species. Would you like to hear that with me? The physicality of your realization is me, is what the light of the world is. And the I of the truth of you in the momentary reflection of how you actually look to me will give you a provision of how you really look to yourself. Shall we try that together for a moment? I represent to you, okay, a memory concerning yourself and all of the activities that have been going on in your drama of existence. But here now, in this time and place, appears this character within your own reference. Let's use the word Christ if you want to, Jesus if you'd like to, who says to you very simply, no, this isn't true. The manner of your construction of your identity was only a moment of transition from the idea that you were separate to the truth of who you are. Look at me. Okay? I want you to say with me now. Will you try it? I am the light of the world. Why don't you go ahead, you back there? So far turned in on yourself with the idea that somehow what you are representing is what life is. Okay. It's impossible that you did not hear this at this time and place. Okay. Shall we try once more the training that we've been sharing together? Say to me, this is the only time there is. Huh. This is the time that you have decided to stop covering the now. What have you been afraid of? Now. What you have been afraid of is this sudden incursion of light, okay, that will cause a very rapid conversion in the illusions of the light form by which you retain your identity. Now, what I'm saying to you at this time and place is that if you are here, and certainly you consider yourself to be, the function that you will perform will be first the realization of the power that's inherent in your own mind, and then the offering of that light through the strength of thought, as is represented by a thought that we are sharing together now, of the release of the defenses that we employ to keep from knowing who we really are. Say to me, the power of forgiveness. if it's out there and it's attacking you, it's unforgivable. And all of your practices about the idea that I'm going to have to work on giving up my grievances that I'm holding against everybody are absurd. I'm going to, if you'll share it with me, to show you a manner, and Jesus uses this manner, to increase your grievance to the point where you can no longer stand it. To increase your grievance to the point that you can recognize that you're inflicting pain on yourself, make a decision that there's going to be an alternative and ask for help. Do you think that I'm not aware of the rage that you're experiencing? Some of you are experiencing very intense rage at the offering that I'm giving you about your own perfection. The idea that you could take that rage that you're feeling, looking for justice, looking for a reason for being here, and instantly convert it to love will astonish you as you begin to practice it. Because the passion of your identity, the passion of your need to escape from this little box of space-time in which you have defined your search for justice and used the term love, your need for equanimity, your need to find solutions in attack and defense, and your inability to do it have what have led you to me. So I want to take your passion away from you. I want to increase it in the idea that the passion of our love for each other will give you a provision of the function that this lesson is offering you. Let's read some more now about your necessity to undergo this experience of conversion. Listen. Creation cannot even be conceived of in the world. It has no meaning here. Forgiveness is the closest it can come to earth. For being heaven-born, it has no form at all. Yet God created one who has the power to translate in form the wholly formless. What he makes are dreams, but of a kind so close to waking that the light of day already shines in them, and eyes already opening behold the joyful sights their offsprings contain. Forgiveness gently looks upon all things unknown in heaven, sees them disappear, and leaves the world a clean and unmarked slate on which the Word of God can now replace the senseless symbols written there before. Forgiveness is the means by which the fear of death is overcome, because it holds no fierce attraction now and guilt is gone. Forgiveness lets the body be perceived as what it is. Are you listening? A simple teaching aid to be laid by when learning is complete, but hardly changing him who learns at all. Listen, the mind without the body cannot make mistakes. It cannot think that it will die, nor be the prey of merciless attack. Anger becomes impossible, and where is terror then? What fears could still assail those who have lost the source of all attack, the core of anguish and the seat of fear? Only forgiveness can relieve the mind of thinking that the body is its home. Only forgiveness can restore the peace that God intended for his Holy Son. Only forgiveness can persuade the Son to look again upon his holiness. With anger gone, you will indeed perceive that for Christ's vision and the gift of sight, no sacrifice was asked, and only pain was lifted from a sick and tortured mind. Is this unwelcome? Is it to be feared? Or is it to be hoped for, met with thanks and joyously accepted? We are one and therefore give up nothing, but we have indeed been given everything by God. Let's take a look just for a minute and we'll complete this lesson about what I'm offering you. I can't take your rage away from you because you're entitled to it. And I spent a lot of years trying to contain my own rage, and I'm sharing this with you right there. This is particularly important to you if you think for one minute that the conceptual the beginning of conversion of the Christ mind to not rage against this world. All right? The conversion mechanism that you employ using the power of rage, or your need to find a purpose here, your need to identify yourself, that in a particular sense is what love is why you require the conversion. Certainly in the defense of the justice that you feel you are entitled to in this world, you will perfect and protect your offsprings of mine concerning your need to aggregate in the defense of the things that you love. And that is as inevitable to you as a human species as is the consciousness itself. You will protect the things that you love, okay, in this association because you believe that you can be attacked. The application that brought about the conversion of my mind, which is representing your mind now, was in the discovery and fulfillment of my rage in the defense of the things that I honored and love. I felt unfulfilled. The idea that I could be given a reason for existence here, you better listen carefully to this, an occupation or a purpose where I could dedicate myself with love and honor to my country, as you do to yours, to my family, to this existence, and rage against an enemy out there that justified the particulars of my rage. And I was successful at it, and I lived through it, and I died, and I felt the comprehension of an understanding of a victory over what appeared to be evil out there, only to discover that the gratification I experienced continued to lead me, okay, to situational realizations that no matter what I performed in this act of defense of myself, no matter how I defined it, with all the passion that I had, it still resulted in death. In the beginning, I used it to protect myself from my own death by performing acts of death against what appeared to be out there. You try this with me. I know that's what many of you are doing in your own rage of mind now. You're looking for justice in this world in the particulars of separation. There is no justice here. And that discovery to your raging mind, okay, looks weak. Okay, my expression that in your defenselessness lies the entirety of your invulnerability is not particularly entertaining to you who have reached conclusions using that little conceptual idea of your rage against eternal life. Now, the acknowledgement that I have had that experience is part of the process that qualifies me to offer you the solution based on my own enlightenment. You want to share that with me? Whatever I thought had to be performed in my nature to defend myself in this little hovel of meaningless night has been accomplished by my certainty that no matter what acts I performed in even the idea of love and forgiveness, if in fact there was something outside of me that could cause me pain and death, that I would end up in exactly the same situation into which we momentarily find ourselves at this time. Okay. I am offering to you right here and now the time and place where you underwent an experience through a momentary non-defense of your enemy. This is what forgiveness is that brought a new bright realization to you, okay, that showed you you could walk around and occupy that little body and stay directly linked, okay, to a new vibratory association of light that is showing you the alternative. Now, you've come this far with me, and you're having that experience, you can't lose it. That's a miracle. All I ask you to do is stop trying to define it within the intention of your rage to justify the justice that you feel is necessary in the pertainments of your own consciousness. Is that as simple as let go and let God? Is that as simple as I can't, he will if I let him? Okay, is that as fundamental as my admission of my necessity for a dependence on the totality of creative source? Of course it is. Now, I'm going to share this with you. I very rarely go this far, but I can see that you're hearing me. It isn't that I don't lose my rage. Okay? It's very simply that it doesn't possess me. And if it doesn't possess me, I cannot possess it. So that if we would look at it from the prospects of Jesus, he would recommend to you that you always rage entirely against the world. That way you're able to subtract yourself from the participation, okay, in the world that will continue to cause you to rage, since you are the source of the rage itself. Could you hear that? Those of you who think that somehow the mind of Jesus was some sort of a pusillanimous relationship with himself that caused him to go off into the desert and seek solutions are sadly mistaken. When he found the solution within his own mind and heart for asking for it, he went and confronted the world. And many of you have had that experience. And of course, you were immediately attacked by the world. But you began to experience a revolutionary modality within the evolutionary process of the conversion of your mind from this dark form to the realization of who you are. Want to practice for a minute? Say to me, there is no death. Did you say, you can't die. Say to me, I can't die. Yes. So all of your rages have been to protect yourself from the inevitability of death. But if you can't die, why bother to perfect yourself? Nobody's going to want to hear this, and I'm not really concerned about that. I am concerned that you might want to hear it. I am concerned that you might want to look at the certainty, okay, of myself in my relationship with you, that my expression through my Savior Jesus, that I am yourself through his self, can represent this moment where we share our Christhoods together, so that at the moment that I didn't try to hold on to the reflection of my own form, I could see immediately your perfection. And I could express to you how much I love you and how certain I am that within this dream of death, this is the time and place where we imaged to each other the entirety of the solution. Now you represent to me an image that is the most joyous and happy occasion that I could ever experience. One of our famous saying is, you can't meet a stranger. And if I can teach you to love yourself in the new reflection of the innocence that you find through asking for forgiveness of God and accepting it, that innocence of the realization that we don't belong here. Let's try that one. This is not where we're from. Yeah, we're not from here. All we're doing now at this time and place is presenting ourselves with the certainty that we're not from here. Our function then becomes to recognize that we come from heaven, as simple as Jesus would perform it. He says to you, where I'm going, you know, and you can come with me because we don't belong here. So our function is to escape. Let's complete this lesson now about the joy that you're experiencing in having a purpose for being here. You have a new idea emerging in you now that your purpose for being here is to bring about this conversion in the awakening of your own mind. Listen. Yet do we need forgiveness to perceive that this is so. Without its kindly light, we grope in darkness, using reason but to justify the rage that we're talking about. Our understanding is so limited that what we think we understand is but confusion born of error. And we are lost in mists of shifting dreams and fearful thoughts. Our eyes shut tight against the light, our minds engaged in worshiping what is not there. Could you hear that? What can be born again in Christ but him who has forgiven everyone he sees or thinks of or imagines? Who could be set free while he imprisons anyone? A jailer is not free, for he is bound together with his prisoner. He must be sure that he does not escape, and so he spends his time in keeping watch on him. The bars that limit him become the world in which his jailer lives along with him, and it is on this freedom that the way to liberty depends for both of them. Listen, therefore, hold no one prisoner. Release instead a bind, for thus are you made free. The way is simple. Every time you feel a stab of anger, realize you hold a sword against your head, and it will fall or be averted as you choose to be condemned or free. Thus does each one who seems to tempt you to be angry also represent your Savior from the present house of death, and so you owe him thanks instead of pain. Be merciful today. The Son of God deserves your mercy. It is he who asks that you accept the way to freedom now. Deny him not. His Father's love for him belongs to you. Your function here on earth is only to forgive him that you may accept him back as what? Your identity. He is as God created him, and you are what he is. Forgive him now his sins, and you will see that you are one with him. You know, the first thing that I'm going to do with this, we've been accepted into the United Nations with the idea that we could actually teach individual atonement or forgiveness, not concerning the world, but the necessity for individual metamorphosis. And the joy that is being experienced by those now who can see their new relationships with themselves and offer it to the world are showing new ways where the problems of this world can be solved. And that makes us very happy. What you just heard from me was as fine, and there's the Templeton organization I mentioned on the last video. He's doing a beautiful job in trying to figure out how we can forgive each other. What we just offered you there in the certainty of my mind is to look within yourself where the problem really is. Say to me, the problem is not out there. Yes. The problem you have concerning the grievances that you hold against your enemy is not out there. Will you accept that from me? We've just got a minute and a half left here. Look at me. Say to that. Yeah. I am whole and perfect as God created me. Say that. Yeah. We are sharing together at this time and place your own realization of the joy and happiness that you are feeling that is contained within your mind. Huh? How can we know this is true? Because we share a single mind. We come from a single source, and we actually have forgotten who we are together. Okay? There is one self, and that I share with God. When I find you guilty, okay, of acts against me, I'm finding myself guilty of acts against myself, and my defense becomes my continuation of attack within my human form. The light that you're experiencing now with me is the light from heaven. See how bright it is now. Watch this video again. Perhaps you'll want to begin to share now this mind trick, so that we can see together the emergence of the idea, the species, Homo sapiens, and its emergence into the light of the truth of what it is out in the universe. Remember that God is the mind with which we think, and that God goes with us wherever we go. so that in this moment of the sharing of love, we can say together, God bless us, everyone. Welcome home once more. Welcome home.